All right, so if you guys have your Bibles, please open them up. Go to a book that we call 1 Corinthians. So we'll be in 1 Corinthians. We'll be in chapter 13. We're going to continue on. Now remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the topic is what? Two words. Spiritual gifts. So we discover what the gifts are. The bigger picture is not the individual specific gift that God has given you, but the bigger picture of the unity of the body. Chapter 13, sandwiched in between the passages about spiritual gifts, chapter 12, 13, and 14, big section on spiritual gifts. Chapter 13, how are you to exercise these spiritual gifts as you serve God through love? Through love. So we'll continue looking at that. We're going to start reading from chapter 13 at verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1. Chapter 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Father in heaven, you say in your word that you are this agape love. This is you. It's who you are. It emanates from you through Jesus, your Son, our Messiah and Savior. And then as we're born again, we confess our sins to you. And Christ Jesus is our Savior that died on the cross for our sins. We turn away from that old life. We repent. And now you give us a new life, a new hope, a new beginning, a new way. And you come and live in our lives. So you, this God of agape love, you live within us and you're trying to train us through your word of truth, empowered by the spirit of truth, the one we call the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for your holiness. We thank you for your purity. You're trying to train each of us. Help us, God, that we would be humble, that we would surrender and submit ourselves to you, that you would continue to do that awesome holy work that only you can do. So, Father, prove yet again that you are the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Comfort our hearts, Father. I know that some of us here are probably going through a lot. Help us, Lord. Empower us for your glory, for we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So here's what the famous Billy Graham once said. If you have love, you are not only going to think no evil, you're going to take your tongue and have it nailed to the cross so that you bless instead of curse. And that could be so true, but yet it does take a while, right? You come and get saved. God comes to live within your life. The Holy Spirit now lives within you. Think about it, the Holy Spirit, not an unholy spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live. God the Spirit lives within us, and he wants to not just work in you, but through you. And how many of us know, just like Mr. Billy Graham says, the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and he's going to change you from the inside out. You know that, right? Even if you never read it in the Bible, you'll come to him and go, I can't say these things I used to say, right? He's going to train your words. He's going to change you from the inside out. The Holy Spirit's job. He's going to convict us of sin. You can't do that anymore, Drew. Righteousness. Look at the righteous works of Jesus Christ. He's going to want you and I to do these righteous good works, not works that get you saved, but works for the saved. And judgment. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict us of these things. Drew, you can't get away from it. Be sure your sin will find you out. So he's the one that keeps us on a leash. And how many of us know the Holy Spirit? It's as if he has a short leash on us. Not a leash physically, but spiritually. Right? So we have to obey what he says. So you come to the Lord, and he's going to clean up your words. He's going to clean up yours. Maybe someone here needs to know that. Right? We talk about that. You don't even have to read it or know it's in the Bible. He lives within you. Like, I am just changed now. That's his job. Praise God for that, right? So what he does through his love, his agape love, he's going to change us from the inside out. Now, as we study this great passage of love, it's good for us to remember, again, chapter 13 sandwiched between chapter 12 and chapter 14. This whole passage, these three chapters speak about the spiritual gifts. Okay, they come from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. They're spiritual gifts, gifts of the Holy Spirit, empowered by him. They're literally gifts of grace. So you're given these gifts, and we already went through for weeks, chapter 12, slowly, painfully slow, so we could look at some of the gifts, give you time to pray for them, to see even like printouts of what the gifts are in other places in the Bible. There, by the way, they're in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4 we'll mention, and then 1 Peter 4 even. You and I must serve God with spiritual gifts, but what they were erring with in the Corinthian church, similar to you and I today, or even in this church, myself included, is I need to serve God, not just with spiritual gifts, but hey, Corinthian church, do it in love. Hey, Drew, hey, Calvary Chapel at the Cross, we need to serve the Lord with love, amen? So this is the passage that we get at. Many times, this is just seen as a list, right? You go to many weddings. How many of you have been to a wedding and you see 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8a? Love is patient. Love is kind. And spouse is like, oh, they're so hopeful. Yes, please be patient with me. Please be kind with me. And you look at these things, and you see it just as a list. It becomes a list of legalism if you don't know the context of what this is saying. This is not a fully complete theological definition of the agape love of God. So if you just look at this as a list, it's very easy for you, once you get married, you're going to be like, pointing fingers at your spouse. Hey, love is patient. Who cares if I go out and drink with the fellas? Yeah, but it's 5 days a week. Yeah, but love is patient. That's not how it's to be applied. But the context here is that we are using these spiritual gifts to serve God, and we need to serve him with love. So what will this love look like? That's what this is getting at in verse 4. Love is, let's read this again. Love is patient, or it says here in the New King James Version Bible, love suffers long. Another way to say patience. And is kind. So as you serve God, we looked at last week, you can look online and YouTube for our last message. This agape love of God, when you're serving him through love, you're going to be patient with people. And God's going to test you, isn't he? How many of you know, once you walk with God, he's going to test you? They're tests every day. And you mess up, the good thing about God, he'll give you a makeup test. He's given me dozens. Praise God for that. He gives you a lot of grace, a lot of mercy there. So now we're looking at verse 5. And one thing I want to mention here, it says, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. I'm like, I don't know about you, I get convicted right away. Again, this is not just taken as a list out of context, because this list will lead you to legalism. Because nobody besides Jesus can do these things. It's often kind of couched in phrase and taught that way. That you take out that word love, and how many of you have seen this or heard this, you put your name there. Drew is patient? No. But you put Jesus there. How many of you heard teachings like that? Some of you? No. I'm sure some of you have. Oftentimes you'll hear that. Well, Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. The only one that fits that bill perfectly is Jesus. Ah. That's if you look at it just like a list. It becomes a list of legalism, because you just go, what's the use? I'm just going to give up. And so you get bummed out. You might give up and drop out. I don't want you to do that. So you look at the context. This is speaking of you within the local church, just like the Corinthian church, having spiritual gifts, and that's what you need to serve one another with. However, like the Corinthian church that was messing up a lot, Paul's writing to them saying, hey, but you're doing it wrong. Instead of boasting, look at this gift I have. I don't have that gift. I'm envious. I want that gift. Like, that's not love. So you need to serve God with these spiritual gifts, but do it with God's love. And so this is what he's showing us. So in verse 5, now we break this down. I'm going to break this down a little bit for some of these things today. I'm reminded here of something. Now, some of you guys were with us during this time. Many of you guys weren't. Kimmy probably remembers this, right? In the Rockaway. So who was here in New York City during Superstorm Sandy? Okay, a bunch of you guys were. If you were here, That was shortly after we broke through the wall. We broke into, this was a warehouse at that time. My daughter Christina was just born, so I remember how old she was, and it's like, oh, okay, this was like 13 years ago. I'm sitting there complaining in my heart, God, we got more bills. It's as if the Lord is saying, shh, quiet. So we broke through the wall. Now I'm sitting there like struggling in my heart, like, okay, we have more bills. And then some months later, Superstorm Sandy hit. And I'm even struggling in my heart going, all right, God, I know a lot of my friends want us to get involved. My friends in other Calvary chapels around the nation, they're like, you're there in Queens. All right, let's get to it. But in my heart, I'm like, yeah, but I don't have time, et cetera, et cetera. Everybody's got an excuse, right? So I was like, money and time. But what God was doing with us at that time, we're a little fellowship at that time, is he's having us respond at Superstorm Sandy. We're after. So we went down there. The people were hurting. And if any of you guys remember what it was like, if you were here in New York City, the water enveloped the whole island in the Rockaways on both sides, from the south and then that little inlet area. So all across the whole island, they said if you were to draw, you take like a laser pointer, you were to draw a line about that high or so, it hit everything. So here on the east coast, unlike the west coast, every building has a basement. So everybody's basement was filled. That means all the boilers are what? Gone. Right? No heat. Then it was getting cold. This was like right before Halloween time. So it was October. It was getting cold. It was very cold that year, I remember. And everybody's house or building was flooded in the basement, and the first floor was just trash. You'd see like these dirt lines in people's buildings. It was really sad. And the government didn't seem like they were doing anything. And God was really convicting my heart. I'm like, but God, I don't have time. We just had a second baby born, and you know, didn't have my job that I had before. So all these complaints in my heart. So Superstorm Sandy hit. And by the grace of God is all it was. God gave us a 5-acre property to use. 5 acres in New York City. You know, it's hard to get a little closet. 5 acres. So we had 5 acres to freely use. We used it for 2 years. We got it. It was, the grass was like this high across the whole property. And I was praying at that time that God would give us a spot to put a storage trailer. You know, the big boxes, the rectangular boxes that go in the back of a semi-truck? Because we kept going. We come back. We're like, we come back with more stuff than what we left with. Some of you guys remember that we were here during that time. If people would just roll up like, hey, you're doing a great job. Here's a bunch of toilet paper we just got from Dwayne Reed. And we're like, wow. So we're just handing out stuff, cooking up burgers and hot dogs, feeding the people, loving the people. So I was praying, God, we're leaving this place with a whole bunch of stuff as we go down south to minister to the people. We did this at least weekly. And we come back with more, and we need a storage place. Some of you guys remember, like, this whole area was just piles of all kinds of goodies and stuff to hand out. So we're praying. I was praying. And we connected with a guy who's like, hey, I own this property. And he's like, why don't you just take the property? And I'm like, no. I just need space for a storage trailer. He's like, no, I'm not using it anyway. You guys are doing a good work. I'm hearing a lot of good things. Just use it. Because we were right across the street at the post office, federal property, like doing barbecues, open fire. It's kind of bad. But the NYPD at that time told us to do it. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. So we got this 5-acre property. God gave us a lot of grace. And what we did is we mowed down all the grass. Had some friends from up north who had this huge machinery that came down. We're like out there, Calvary Chapel, Philadelphia, where we're going to be for the pastor's conference. They sent down 100 missionaries for one day. And we're out there with weed whackers and like barely doing anything because these are huge weeds and grass. So a friend had a guy with a huge contracting company from up north. It came down, they mowed down like the majority of the grass. We fenced the property. The Bible says to do all things decently and in order. That's we'll get to the next chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:40. So we want to create a sense of order because it was kind of chaos. People were getting really edgy at that time. If you didn't do ministry down there, you might not know what I'm talking about. But they'd go on the news like, everything's love, joy, peace. And then people that are in the Rockaways are like, what? They're like just so mad at the government. FEMA came down, you know, federal, the feds. They would set up shop like really far away. So we were like, we invited them on the property. Like, we got the people that are coming to us because we had a property that was in the cross-section of a real nice community and like the ghettos, right? So people were coming to us, And FEMA, they didn't want anything to do with it. They're like set up way far away. And then they're going on the news, oh, everything's fine. So they weren't able to connect. So we brought them out. The Queens president, borough president, I think it was Melinda Katz at that time, I think it was her name. She sent out a bus. Same thing, they're kind of, they want to represent Queens. But they'd like be far away in this bus. I'm like, no, come on to our property. So anyhow, what I'm getting at is God was just blessing it. He poured out a lot of grace. We had the property free for a couple years to serve God and to love the people. And we put up a fence all around to create a sense of order because people come in, they would like take stuff, and it was like kind of crazy. And God was putting in my heart and those around us that, you know, we created it was supposed to be a temporary shed. It was about this size, though. So we had a bunch of folks that came down from various Calvary chapels who were contractors. So what they did is they helped us create it was supposed to be temporary. It's still there, actually. You go and see the property. But it's this wooden building. We put up like a cross and all that, and we were holding services. So we were like, all right, we want to be able to bless you all with things, but we want to give you spiritual food. So we created a sense of order. And some of the Saturdays when we went down there, it was like 7 or 8 back-to-back services. It was great, but wow. It was like overwhelming how many people would come out. That's a lot. Think about that. So we'd pack up this temporary building, kind of like us here, and then people would have to wait in line. So here's what started happening. This is people like waiting to come in for a church service and to get blessed with supplies. We had people out on the fence, and they'd be complaining. Some of them were like spitting and then cursing. And then my friend, it was Ray. Ray, if you're watching, missing you, buddy. He'd be like, Pastor Drew, they're spitting at me. They're yelling. So I go out there, and they start doing that for us. Like, wow, we just want to bless you with spiritual food and physical food. And guess what was happening in my heart? So we read this, right, about this agape love. Love does not behave rudely. You know, the first thing that was going on in my heart, I have to admit, is that when I heard of some people, like, spitting, I mean, we're out there to bless them. I had my family at home. I wasn't even bringing home very much stuff. I'm like, some of you guys I see day after day, week after week, you're getting more stuff than me. And in my heart, I'm sitting there like, you know what happens? You have the tendency to, when you get bitten, to want to bite back, right? So I look at this, behave rudely. Wow, sometimes as you're serving God, that's the context here. As you serve God, sometimes others might behave rudely towards you. But does Jesus want us to bite back, to behave rudely? No. That gets tough, and that'll happen. So as that was happening in my own heart, I was really tempted to behave rudely. You know what I had to do that I want to encourage you guys for is I just had to stop, confess that to God. Lord, you died for these people. And oh, man, you have patience. Love is patient. I'm not very patient. These people want to spit on me just so I can tell you, them that you love them. And we're giving them, some people, they walk away, they come away with like $100 plus of stuff. And we did that for so many weeks out there. And the Lord was teaching me, showing me that, you know, I need to know more about God's love. I'm nothing like Jesus. So what will happen is you serve the Lord Jesus, he's going to show you, right? What we call life, what we call ministry, he's going to unearth, he's going to reveal the junk, the issues in your heart. Why? So he can heal. So I found out I'm not very loving. I thought I was, but Jesus knows my heart. So remember that. Sometimes if people spit at you, I'm glad you guys aren't coming here spitting at me. But that was happening. We're like, we just want to bless you. And that's the kind of stuff that happens. So you get tempted because it's easy to sit there and behave rudely back. But God calls us to bless, not curse, right? Even like our brother, Billy Graham. Bless instead of curse. So here's that word. I want to bring this up. I did the study, so you don't have to. This word for behave rudely, you can see here, hopefully on the display. I've got these two boxes. This is just screenshots from my Bible study software. This word comes from this word. So what is it speaking of? Love doesn't behave rudely. Love doesn't behave indecently. And again, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently and in order. So will the agape love of God, will God ever cause you to behave, let's just say, rudely? No, he won't. To behave indecently. Well, there was a guy, they call him the streaking prophet. Yeah, but if you do that, the NYPD is going to come after you, buddy. I don't think that's of God. Definitely not today. So are we to do things indecently in the name of Jesus? No. Pretty easy to see, right? So not only does the Bible teach against that, to behave rudely or to behave indecently, you just know that God isn't that way. And also God doesn't want us to represent him that way too. But I got to tell you, Christian, if you want to walk with Jesus, if you want to serve him, if you want to represent him, you're going to get tested, aren't you? And you'll be tempted in your heart. Well, God's dealing with them. He's also going to deal with you, right? That happens to me. And that will happen if you're serving Jesus. You'll be tempted that maybe someone's going to be rude with you. So how am I going to respond? Because I know at least a little bit of the Bible to go, well, someone's rude with me. That's obviously the things of the flesh. Galatians 5, yes, that's the thing of the flesh. That's not God's Holy Spirit. So now my issue is I might be in sin because someone was used by God, or maybe even the devil, to bring up something that I have a immaturity issue that God's wanting to deal with me. Why? Because he loves me. And he's my father, and I'm his kid. And so every parent, every loving parent wants to bring these things up so that they can do what? So they can lovingly help and heal their child. So how can we apply this? So as you and I serve God, he's going to train us. He's going to use interpersonal interactions, relationships. Hey, this will reveal your relationship with God. This also will reveal how you deal with things. For me, whether it was the Rockaways or even here, it's going to reveal, wow, I got a lot of growing up to do. I want to grow up to be more like Jesus. And I think we all need to, amen? So it's kind of neat to see these things because as people were spitting on Jesus, shoving a crown of thorns on his head, doing everything to mock and curse him, punching him, and blindfolding him, you and I know when you know you're going to get hit, you could brace yourself. They blindfold him so they couldn't see him. Bam, hitting him. Imagine that happening to you. And he didn't deserve it. We did. But how did he respond? Like a sheep before its shearers is silent, right? Wow. So that's our Lord Jesus. And this shows us not only how he would act, how God wants you and I to act, because why? Because we represent him. But you know what that also shows? Because you and I are spiritually bankrupt. We don't have the ability. We need to come to him and cry out to the Father in the name of Jesus that he empowers you and I through his Spirit so that as someone acts in the flesh towards us, we respond with the Holy Spirit's grace. But that's tough, isn't it? And you know what that means too, Christian? That you and I, not just the Corinthian Christians then, but you and I today. This might speak to someone here. If you're wanting to walk with Jesus and grow in his grace and his ways, he's going to test you. And he's going to show you your own heart. So your prayer might be like this. God, thank you for salvation through Jesus. Help me to grow. I want to know you. Maybe that's how you're praying. And then you know what he's going to do? Okay. So the one you call your neighbor is going to be used. Why do they have to park in front of my garage? Blah, 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 blah. You go to work. And then someone is like punching, you know, hitting the buttons, twisting things. And you're like, whoa. They used to be able to say things. It wasn't God bless you. It was something else, right? Maybe you wouldn't just wave high. You'd wave something else. You can't do that as a Christian. So what is God doing? He loves you, so he wants to grow you. You see what I'm saying? If you want to grow to know the Lord, not just let's study the Bible. It's like you got to put it into practice or else you really don't know God and his word. So 1 John 4 tells us, how do you have God's love manifest in you when you're saved? God's love will be perfected through you, though, if, it's a conditional, if you love one another. In other words, God's love won't be perfected through you unless and until you start loving other people with God's love. Until then, you and I aren't going to grow. We're not going to mature. We can come and sit together for 50 years, still stuck in the same spot. And that's me, if I don't grow. And that's all of us here. So he's going to give you a test. Never fail with Jesus. Don't fear. If you fail, just like me, he'll give you a makeup test. You guys remember? Anybody here take a driving test and you failed the first time? No, even the MTA driver. There's hope. There's hope. That's cool. So you take a test with the DMV, you fail. We'll give you a makeup test. You can do it over. Kind of the same thing with God. For them, they'll have a limit. With God, he'll keep, what will he do? I tell this to my wife. You're going to have the same problem person, right? Oh, they're a problem, this problem. And then you know what God's going to show you? As he shows me, and I'll share with my wife. It's like, you see the same person, right? And it's the same type of person throughout months or years. You know what will happen? It's God that's testing you, isn't it? But you're not seeing that. You just think, oh, this person, that person. But then God loves you, so you're going to have the same problematic type person or same problematic type people. He's going to send them to you. And then what's it going to be? It's not, oh, these people are sinners. God's like, I know, so are you. But I love you, and I'm testing you, I'm going to bring this type of person to you until you pass the test. So here's what will happen, Christian, whether it's behaving rudely or whatever these principles are, until you grow in God's grace, you're going to have the same type of person pushing your buttons. And then when you do grow, the interesting thing supernaturally is you'll know it's God. This is where you're like, oh, interesting thing happens. When you pass God's test, you'll realize you don't get that same type of person that comes to you anymore, like clockwork. And it's weird how that, it's interesting, supernaturally interesting, because the one that's actually sending you, the person that, or the people that you thought was a problematic person or problematic people, is that God loves not just them, God loves you. And so that's why he's allowing it to happen, because he needs you to see what's in you. So I'm out there in the Rockaways with my brother and friend Ray. We see people spitting, cursing, and they're like these grown big men, some of them like trying to fight with these smaller women, like they're just cutting in line. Like, oh, it's so sad. And we have the tendency to behave rudely, right? And some of the cops come on the scene to help create sense of order, because there's like a lot of people coming out at those times. And the tendency of the heart is like to go get them, you know? And then I had to stop myself many times, actually, and confess that to God. God, it's not just them. I see them, but you're dealing with all of us. You're dealing with them, but you're also dealing with this part. Now, my issue is you're confronting me over some sin that's within, because I have this issue of my heart, and you love me. But you're going to deal with them in your own time, but you're also dealing with me. So if you find yourself there, just stop, confess that to God, and allow him to. Anybody, by the way, you ever notice that you get that same kind of irritating person? I'm not talking about the same exact person. It might be the same kind of person, and you're always like frustrated. Why does it always happen? Does that ever happen with any of you guys? Too bad. You know what? We want to endeavor to know how to hear from God. That's one of the ways, is to know that he'll send a person to you in the flesh. You'll think it's a problematic person. To God in the spirit, he's going to use them to reveal so he can heal. He's revealing you. Does that make sense? So then you need to take that thing to God, and the way to get past it as a Christian so you grow and mature over that is not, you're going to smack that person. Because I'm a child of God. I'm a daughter of the prince. You know, all the kind of stuff you hear. It's like, no, you and I need to grow. But it's interesting when you do actually grow through God's empowerment by his grace to handle people like how he puts up with a lot of our junk, right? Is we need to learn to what? To love. So here's just one of the facets of love. Love doesn't behave rudely. Let's look at the next thing. It says, does not seek. So this agape love of God does not seek its own. The Holy Spirit and his spiritual gifts are going to point you and others to Jesus. Think about this. We know this in proper theology. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Holy Trinity, is going to point you to who? To Jesus Christ and him crucified. To Christ and his work. So love doesn't seek its own. It's a way to say that God's agape love is not self-centered. And I don't know about you, but I still have a lot of issues within me. Anybody confess that? Who here can confess that? Raise your hand up. So now if you can confess that to me and to us, we simply need to confess it not horizontally, but vertically up to God, right? So that God could deal with your heart. So he's going to utilize these things. He's going to give you spiritual gifts. You're serving God however, whenever, wherever you do. And he's going to reveal to your heart, well, love doesn't seek its own. I think I'm serving you. But I find out I'm pretty stinking selfish still. Wow. Love doesn't seek its own. It's not selfish. So as you and I serve God and serve people with spiritual gifts, are we others-centered? Jesus is the only perfectly other-centered person. You and I, we're learning. But Jesus is the only one ever born who is other-centered perfectly. He's our example. Amen? He's our hope to follow. So you and I, we need to learn to be more like that. Can someone get the AC? Are you guys warm? Yeah? It gets warm quick during this time. All right. Thanks, bro. Here's what it says in Philippians 2. This is a great passage to look at as a cross-reference for this. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, so it's your thought life here, lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Are you kidding me? It sounds like I've got to be more like Jesus. Exactly. You and I need to be more like Jesus. Let each of you look out. Look at what it says here. Look out not only for his own interests. So it's not saying like, if you eat, if you're hungry, don't eat. If you're thirsty, don't drink water. Just think of someone else. That's not what it's saying. Don't only look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. And then verse 21 says, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Now, Paul is writing that last verse referring to Timothy. He has no one like-minded, no one like him. And he knows he can send to the Philippian church. It's like, this guy is unselfish. This guy represents Jesus. So Timothy was the pastor of Ephesus later on, but he's wanting to send him to Philippi. So it's you and I, as we apply this, it's impossible for us to remain selfish while serving God. No wonder why Jesus said, do you want to be a follower of Jesus? In Luke 9, verse 23, no wonder why Jesus says, step one, deny self. Satan and your own flesh and your pride will say, no, got to embrace self. It's all about me. Got to look out for number one. That's what the world says. And what the Bible will point to is, yeah, number one is Jesus. I'm not even number two. So in my life, Jesus needs to be number one. Second is my wife, if you're married. Third are your kids, if you have kids. Everybody else is number four. That's right. So the problem is when we replace that, when it's not in its proper order. So you and I, we need to deny self, and Jesus says, take up his cross daily. So let me ask you guys here. Did Jesus have to die on the cross for his own sins? No. Did he die on the cross for your sins? Yes. So when you take up your cross, it's what you do for someone else. Make sense? You can also call that ministry. So no wonder why a lot of people don't want to serve God. That's step two. It's because they're still embracing what? Self. You cannot serve God according to the Bible, empowered by his Spirit, and even flowing with the love of God. You can't serve God if you remain selfish. So sometimes we want to just stay selfish. But it's impossible for the Holy Spirit to flow through a person like living water to minister to other people if you and I remain what? Selfish. That's why I need to serve God. Not only because he's called me to it, it's something that he's going to help me because I can really quickly become selfish. Anybody else feel that way about themselves? All of us do. Why? Because we're in this fallen world. We're a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5, right? Like the butterfly, no longer like the caterpillar. But you and I need to be disciples. We need to be trained. We need to be lovingly keeping one another accountable for that. Because most of us, I'll just confess it, for me, if I don't fellowship with the Lord or the Lord's people, give me a month, probably even less, and I'll be extremely selfish. That's it. You're Pastor Drew. I'm human, like you. Besides Jesus, you and I are together. We're all the same. So we need the Lord's help. So the key is to keep seeking God while serving him. So when you seek God, you're going to be serving him. And what happens, he's going to reveal what's in you. Doesn't seek its own. well, this person's asking for prayer. I got to go right now because why? Because the game's on. Or whatever it is. You know, oh, come on, there's a shop. They said it's a sale. And your friend's saying, that sign's been there for 5 years. No, but there's a sale in this dress. Or the shoes are in my car. I got to go. I can't pray for you. 5 minutes, they're going to close. And the Holy Spirit's going to send that person to you. Why? Because he's trying to show you maybe that you got to stop being selfish. So you could be more like Jesus. But you have to be trained. You don't just pray and then open your eyes. Hallelujah. I am so holy. I am so patient. So if you pray, anybody pray to God for patience? Be honest. Who here's pray for patience? Okay, look around the room. Have you ever prayed? I have. If you've ever prayed every day, if you pray to God for patience, look around the room. So guys, when you pray to God for patience, what do you know about how he answers it? It's dangerous. He's going to send you someone to kind of, you know, twist those things, to push those buttons. Why? So he's like, I heard your prayer. Gotcha. You don't just pray for patience. You experientially learn. Like, God, I'm not patient. I need to pray to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Can you empower me by your Spirit? Because the fruit of the Spirit, what needs to produce out of my life, is Galatians 5:22 and 23, love. This is what we're talking about. Joy. Peace. What's the fourth thing he says? Patience. Oh, can't I just pray to you and you give me patience? No, he's going to give you people. Right? You guys know that? Who here knows that? Okay, so for the rest of you, you're like, I'm not going to pray for patience now. That's between you and the Lord. But that's how it works. Okay, so we serve God. We represent him in the world, at home, your job, wherever you go. He's going to bring these things out of you. Please, let's just, you know, keep our eyes open to that. And it says, love is not provoked. Oh, no. Notice it doesn't say love is not easily provoked. Love is not provoked. Love is not provoked. Give me a break. The only one that was ever like that was Jesus. Yes. So we need to be more like him. We can be Christ-like. So again, what's he going to do? If you pray for this, God, I want to be more loving like you. Like, have you read the Bible? Verse 5 says, not provoked. God, I need to be more like Jesus. I want to serve you. Remember, chapter 13, he's going to empower you. This God of agape love, he's going to come live within you. And this is one of the many things he's going to bring about. For some of you, you've probably been going through this week. Well, here, you're wanting to love Jesus, walk with him. You've got the headset on, like, oh, love, joy, peace. Now you're interacting with people. And you're like, oh. Is that any of you? Okay. That's why you can't really do good in your walk with God unless you're interacting with other people. You got to fellowship with him and fellowship with other people. It simply says love is not provoked, not love is not easily provoked. For myself personally, I find this is one that I'm always constantly. Again, this is not just, it's not a list or a fully complete theological definition of God's agape love. But there's many things throughout the Bible. But the context is Corinthians in a local church having spiritual gifts. Here's how you're to serve him. Serve God with spiritual gifts, but through this love. And one thing that they're messing up in Corinth with, they're being provoked, right? Pointing fingers at one another. And we could easily be like that. And so that's the context of what Paul's saying. That's not God's love. Here's how you're to serve him. And you're not to be, it says, provoked. Oh, Lord. So if you're provoked, I put this up here on the screen. To make angry, to exasperate, to burn with anger. You know, that's happened to me many times. You're just loving someone. You maybe pour hundreds of hours in them, praying for them, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, maybe something's communicated the wrong way. And then I can get, or you can get, we can get, like, provoked, right? Oh, angry. But God doesn't want us to respond that way. By the way, for just simple interaction, interpersonal interactions with people, most people don't intend to upset you. Now, if they just got, they're demon-possessed or something, that's different. But the average human being, even the average Christian, they don't try to make you mad. Now, if you got something going on there, or that's the person's got maybe heart-healing issues going on, that's different. But most people don't intend to hurt you. So what I found simple is just to, you know, go talk to someone. Pick up the phone. And now you got a better understanding. Do you ever find that? So if we sit there and we just brew and stew in that, ugh, I'm just mad, I'm angry, and now, oh, it develops into rage or something else, it's worse. And now I got a heart healing issue. But if you just go and you talk to that person, you're like, oh, I didn't know, I'm sorry. All I had to do is pick up the phone or talk to someone. Okay? But if God is allowing this thing to reveal in your heart maybe something that maybe is something, a heart issue that you need to heal. Okay? So this agape love of God, as you serve him with spiritual gifts, in whatever way, maybe it's on the job, maybe it's here, are you going to be provoked? If so, don't just sit there and point the spiritual finger. Look at you. And you and I could be a Pharisee. It's easy to do, especially if you got your Bible. It's really easy to see sin in yourself or other people. Because the only place that defines what sin is not my opinion, it's God's opinion in his word, amen? So once you got a Bible and you're going through a Bible teaching church like this, really easy to see people's sins, my sins or everybody's sins. But the problem is, God sees it all. Am I going to love that person or people like how God loves them? And in order to do that, you have to reach out, confess your sins, grab his grace, his love, his mercy, and minister, like what we're looking at here, his love to the people. Because the people don't need our love, they need God's love, amen? God's love. So God's love is not provoked. And notice it says here, thinks no evil. This is the last one. We'll have to close here in just a bit. Thinks no evil. Wow. Thinks no evil. So this word means to meditate on, to deliberate. To deliberate, that's where you're going over, over, and over. Wow. So God's love. Think about this, Christian. You're loving someone. Maybe someone in the family. Okay. You're serving people in God's family, whatever it is. You're at your workplace or your coworker, a friend, a neighbor. And someone hurts you. What do you do with that thought now? Do you stew over it? Is it on the stove? Oh, it's okay. It's out of my mind. No, it's on the back stove and maybe on a low burner. And it'll cook. It'll take longer to cook, but it's still there. Maybe for some of us, not just cooking for an hour. Maybe for like 30 years. I'm going to get them. Right? So God's love, it says it thinks no evil. It doesn't deliberate on evil. It's not going to meditate on evil. God doesn't want you and I to meditate on evil. I'm going to hurt that person. Why? Because they hurt me. But I got to remember that God loves everybody, right? And maybe God's going to allow you to see something, not just in them, but in who? In ourselves, right? If you know that, point to the heart that God's trying to speak to right now in this room. He's trying to speak to you, right? So what am I going to do? Thinks no evil. Maybe you're sitting there going, I wish that guy would shut up so I can go to lunch right now. Okay? So the love of God will cause you and I to remember these things. By the way, the Lord, we use this from time to time. Some of you guys know we went through this thing called the 8-Day Growing and Healing Challenge. And a lot of it, we look at Isaiah 61, verse 1, where it's prophesied about Jesus, that Jesus was sent to heal the brokenhearted. Many times we think the healing that Jesus does is only this external thing. Like, okay, he could raise the dead. He could cure someone of some ailments. But Isaiah 61, verse 1, the thing that was quoted about Jesus at the start of his earthly ministry, it was a synagogue, they unrolled the scroll, they're in Isaiah's book, Isaiah 61, verse 1, it speaks of Jesus, that he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He didn't just come for physical healing, he's also come to heal your heart, isn't he? So many times these things have to be revealed. Why? Because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. So we end up discussing things. Sometimes people have dad issues. I grew up having a lot of dad issues. And so serving God, you know, ministry, life, these things will be used in a loving way by God through the pressures, so it's going to reveal things. Why? So they heal. So when I started serving God and walking with him, I had all these dad issues coming up. Why? Because the people that were trying to mentor me, they were father figures. And so what would happen? This might mean something to someone here, because I find it's pretty complete where most of us have healing issues. Especially if you grew up, you had like a, you didn't have a good Christ-centered, agape love type of dad who's trying to disciple you in God's grace and according to the word, you're going to have healing issues to deal with. I grew up without a dad at home, and I didn't want to listen to other guys. And so guess how much I grew? I didn't. I ended up always bouncing. I'd run. I speak to anybody. Any of you guys like that? Okay? And so we had to deal with these things even within ministry, where you might see that through the loving spiritual pressure, let's say, loving pressure and accountability of, say, serving God and life itself, you might see things that are going to be revealed. Why? So that God heals them. And I found that with many Christians, including ministers that have been serving God for years or decades, if those heart issues, the like dad issues, girls and guys, if they don't get healed, guess what happens with the person? These are root issues of the heart. So guess what happens if it's like into a tree, like Jesus and the New Testament points us to? The root issue needs to be healed so that that tree can produce what? Fruit. So the person's like, I've been a Christian, I've been serving, I've been giving, I've been going on missions. How come I can't hear from God? Why is it I don't have any love, joy, peace? You know, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Why don't I have that? John 10, Jesus says that he came to give life and life abundantly. Why don't I have abundant life? Nehemiah, his book says that it's the joy of the Lord that is our strength. How come I don't have God's joy? So it might be a root issue of the heart. That might be the reason, Christian, that your life might not be producing fruit. If so, let me know, and we can talk. We can pray for you. But these things, we find that sometimes, even the things we're looking at right here and now, they may be issues that the Holy Spirit's going to reveal. Why? Because he loves you, and he wants you to heal. Okay, so as we look at these things, I don't want you to look at it as a legalistic list. If you've only seen these things as a list, and it's just, here's the definition of God's love. We for a while, we had that actually on our front window. That's not exactly correct. So if it's just a list, you're going to fail. You're going to fall into legalism because you're going to compare your spouse to that list, aren't you? You're going to compare yourself to that list. That's why I wish we wouldn't use that in all these Christian weddings, because then the spouse would be like, I thought you're going to be more patient with me. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, and there's all these things here. We're like, oh. But the context, again, is when you're using spiritual gifts to serve one another, it's got to be through God's love. And what does that love look like? The way God defines it here is what we see in these passages. All right, I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. Can we all stand, please? A little over time. So I want to encourage you, though, if anyone here needs prayer or you want to talk about these things or have a question, let me know afterwards. We'd love to be able to just pray for people and to love you and help you. Because only the Lord has this type of supernatural power to be able to respond to others in this way, to have this kind of grace. And I don't know about you, but I fail at these things all the time. So again, don't look at it through legalism, where it's like a bar. You go, wow, I got to do the high jump, and that's how high I got to jump, as high as Jesus. Like, forget it. Okay, that leads to legalism. But as you love the Lord, allow him to love other people through you, you'll see it, oh, this is what you're going to reveal in my own heart, that I've got issues that I've got to deal with. Why? Because you love me. You want me to grow. You want me to mature. Father in heaven, we thank you for your holy word, and we ask, God, can you please pour out your spirit? Father, we confess to you that we are sinners. All of us have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. None of us compare to Jesus. We're born sinners, so it's game over from the time of our birth. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus, our Savior, our Messiah. It's because of your love. You loved the world so much, you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus. You sent him to die as our Messiah, as our Savior. He's also our great high priest. Jesus, you died for all of our sins on the cross. You were buried according to the scriptures. You rose from the grave. You resurrected. We gather today. It's called the Lord's Day. We gather here in your church. You've given us a new life, and you want to train us in this new life. We don't want to go back to the old ways. It's like the butterfly cannot go back and being a caterpillar again. You've done a metamorphosis. You want to renew our minds. We don't want to think like how we used to be. We don't want to act and be how we used to be. But we thank you for giving us new life, a new hope, a new beginning through Jesus Christ. Help us to keep following you. Help us to keep confessing these sins to you. We looked at so many things today. Reveal to each of our hearts which one or ones that you're wanting us to deal with today. And help us to keep confessing and crying out to you, that we would reach up to heaven, Father. Pray to you in the name of Jesus that you'd empower us by your Spirit, that your agape love will show through the world that you are, yes, this God who is a God of love. And you're going to show the world through us, one person, one friend at a time. But you do exist. Your grace, your love, your mercy exists. And may we be used as your conduits to display your love to the world. For we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.